Previously on As the Suds Churn, the coronavirus put the kibosh on my best laid plans of starting my podcast a little sooner. Of I'm alive, you're alive, you're not brainwashed, I got my memory back. As we were getting closer and closer to running out of episodes, I was getting closer and closer to starting my own. If for lack of a better word, she's a little bitch, a little girl bitch. She sees her dad does evil, gets away with it. Welcome to the show. It's been a week since I've poured into your eardrums, and I gotta tell you, I have freaking missed you. Is it me or is it weird to invite your convicted rapist son to move in with you and your daughter, who is a survivor of rape? Or raise your hand if you're just as shocked as I was that Ridge and Shauna got drunkenly sloshed in Vegas and wound up married. No one's hand? Not shocked? Or lastly, going to four different weddings can be expensive, but if you almost low-key die at one, is it right that you can take your present back, right? That's okay? I'm asking for a friend. Welcome to the show, nerds. I'm your man, Taran D, and damn it if we don't got another good one for you today. Thank you for listening to episode number two. If you're new to the show, why the hell would you start with episode two? You could be missing some intricate plot details, like right even now. And long-term listeners, and go back to, you know, one episode ago, I want to thank you for sticking with me. You're going to notice some changes to the format of the show. This is the all-new As the Suds Churn. Not completely new, it's almost the exact same show. It just took some stuff out that didn't work and I added some stuff that I think will work. But you know, ultimately when you brand something, it's always all new as opposed to half new and half old. But I digress. Anyway, I'd like to thank everybody for sticking around for episode number two. If you are just checking me out, I want you to make sure you hit up whatever way you listen to me, Buzzsprout, Podcast, Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. I could go on. Please make sure you hit follow, like, or subscribe, whatever their particular ones have, so that you don't miss the very next episode coming up on As the Suds Churn, which will be episode number three. Episode number two is fondly called Meet Me at the Altar in Your White Dress. As you'll notice, that's a little long-running gag in some of the four shows that I actually watch. I say gag because some of them went off kind of hilariously and then others went off. I'll leave that to you. Let's get the show started. Before we do, here's that first change that we talked about. I wanted to come at you guys with a lot of information in a short period of time, but I figured I would hit it with some hot-ass music and kick the volume up. You guys could go on that first portion of your run a little faster or dice up the ingredients for tonight's dinner in five short, quick minutes. I give you the 5-minute burn. If you love soaps like I do, there's nothing better than when a fan fave returns. And damn it, there is nothing more crushing than when they leave. Soapdom has granted us with the return of a decade's top favorite in Kim Delaney joining the cast in General Hospital real soon. Now, when this story first broke, I have to tell you, in my little head, I thought, could she be resurrecting Jenny Gardner? Could she be bringing her back to the town? Or would they just make her a new strong character for General Hospital and just run into the ground like, say, Dimmer Braun? Just pointing that out. At the very least, in my eyes, it was going to put Tad and Jenny back on my TV screens for the first time since the 80s, and that was totally rad by me, dude. Speaking of Tam Tam, the lovely Tamara Braun is returning to Days of Our Lives in the controversial role but Emmy-winning of Ava Vitale, Princess, Mob Princess. Now, how? Because she dead, you ask? Now, it's Days, so like death means something completely different in the town of Salem, so I don't even care. I'm here for it, and New Year's on Days are usually like jaw-droppers, but like this year, it's clear that the strong is strong with this one. And lastly, Liberty Mibbity, can we just say that Tana Novlin is winning right now? Now, he may be terrible at remembering lines for insurance pitches, but as Dr. Finn on B&B, he is in. Leon Spencer who? Leon Spencer what? Liberty Luchamo's loss is definitely our game. Now, speaking of Bold and the Beautiful, spoilers ahead, the road for Steffi Forrester is not going to be easy. Spoilers see an intervention in the diva's future that pill addiction and the mounting pain storyline seems to be gearing up for some major pill-popping pandemonium. I said what I said. Kristen Alfonso has played Hope Brady on Days of Our Lives for 37 years. I'm gonna say it again, 37 years. She's going to spend the last Sands in her hourglass. Final Days, Our Lives episode will air October 14th. Now due to COVID-19, there wasn't even like a proper send-off for the longtime fan favorite and heroine of the show. So I'm gonna use this time to say, Kristen, baby girl, you are going to be missed. Now more on Kim Delaney on General Hospital. Now, they've opted to resurrect one of Robert's flames from the 80s, a la with a new face. Jackie Templeton, an intrepid reporter, then played by Demi Moore. She makes it up with Tristan Rogers as Robert Scorpio in like a convoluted, like missing sister, hidden Laura, bad guy, 1980s storyline. And, you know, later she came back to Fort Charles, and then her and Robert started a thing. So now Kim Delaney is going to step into Jackie's shoes and hopefully not her 80s hairstyle. Finally, it appears that I'm soon to be a Jennifer Wharton fan after many, many, many years of not being, though I love Melissa Reeves. Because my favorite, all-time favorite soap actress, Kathy McLean, is taking over the role of Jennifer Wharton. Now Reeves has chosen to no longer make the commute from her home and her family in Tennessee, and to she, I say, good for you, Melissa. Family is one over all else, but I sure is glad that Kathy McLean is filling in, albeit temporary, but I'm not even sure, right? Because Brandon Rarish was supposed to just be temporary, right? Then they killed him, and now he's back as his twin, so now you can slow your sweaty asses down, nerds. You've made it to the end of the 5-minute burn. I'm gonna let you cool off and like freshen up, take asses up, and when we come back, it's off to La La Land without, you know, the white people dancing and singing the jazz. Just old-fashioned bed hopping, lying, and random people getting married while drunk. Ah, California love. Ah, now don't you feel better? I know I do. After a strenuous onion cutting, I always need to take a shower. Anyway, now we can get back into the show. We're going to start as we always do on the West Coast, the best coast, as they say. We're going to start with the narration of Bold and the Beautiful. This is going to be a huge chunk, nerds, to take up, okay? I gobbled a lot of shows since the original episode, so this is going to take up from the July 20th through August 19th, which will be season 33. Episodes 142 through 162. A lot of this is available at CBS All Access, or you can YouTube certain episodes if you like. Just have you have a better idea of what I explained to you, you see it for yourself. And here we go. Ultimately, when we come back, Ridge has now married Shauna. Let's say it again. Ridge has married Shauna. It seemed while we were in Vegas, we got a little drunk and then some shenanigans dropped off. To the point where it appears that we have a brand new Forrester matriarch in the making. And when she comes back, nobody's really happy to hear this information because they're ultimately completely shocked because they can't believe any of it happened. And the only person who seems to care or love it the most is my girl Quinn, which she's, for me, she's gloating a little too much. I feel like you absolutely won, but now you're kind of shining a light because you're the first person that anyone would look to think is going to gain something from this. And then she even has the line where she says to Shauna, she's like, just let go of the guilt, like, and just enjoy being married. No one's going to know what we did, which is cool because at the time there's nobody at the house, but it's a freaking soap opera. So every time you go somewhere and you keep having these ridiculous conversations you shouldn't be having, eventually the wrong person, someone is going to hear what you're saying. Eric is at the office, and then he fills in his ex-wife, Donna, which, let me just tell you, the writing seems on the wall for timing-wise, because no sooner does a secret come out, does like Eric suddenly go back to the wife that lied and betrayed him before, which is why he divorced her in the first place. Is Brad Bell anything you don't want is possible? Shauna, on the other hand, like, she laments that the situation happened the way it is, because ultimately she's a good person. She did things that she would not normally do because she wanted something she could not normally have. And a friend who is a very manipulative friend kind of convinced her to do something that she wouldn't have normally done. Plus, it's a soap opera, so you have to have that one person give you the nudge to do something for a character to lament over. And this was perfect. characters lamenting that it's not perfect. Jacqueline McInnes Woods, I absolutely love her. I follow her on IG. She's amazeballs as a human being. But right now, as Steffi, it's hard to watch because she's normally this together, tough, I can accomplish anything person. And she's still trying to be that way, though you can clearly see, if you pay attention, members of her family, that she's in quite a lot of pain. Right. And she was on pills. She took a lot of those and they were done. She had a conversation with Finn. She couldn't admit that she took all the pills. So she was like, I think I'm doing OK. So he's like, try ibuprofen. Try ibuprofen for 7 cracked ribs. Ibuprofen should be just fine. Of course, it's not. So she's horribly in pain. And Thomas is back in L.A. On the scene, and he's here visiting his sister, and he seems legitimately caring. The almost the Thomas we had with the gentleman before him, whose name I'm forgetting. But he was kind and sweet and the hero. And this Thomas is very brooding, very dark, very reminiscent of Ron Moss at an early age of playing Ridge. This is what it seems like Thomas is sort of reminiscent of that right now, but he's here. He seems supportive of his sister. Another person who's supportive of Steffi, which I absolutely love. I mentioned this in the bump earlier. It's about the addition of Dr. Finn to the show. So like Ridge is in the room and it's social distancing. So it's awkward because you're sad your daughter's in the hospital, right? But you can't like be right next to her. So you're across the room, social distance, and she's in pain and Finn's in the room. It didn't matter because when Finn comes in the room, he's talking to Steffi and Steffi looks at him, though she's in pain. Like you can see that they have some kind of heat already together, right? Not only us, but like Ridge does a good double take. Like Torsten K does that super cool like grin. Like did you catch that, right? Which is kind of dope. So we'll see where that actually goes. Now it appears that Zoe and Hope are being able to move on their relationship in life, being part of Thomas's whole scheme to get hope for the future. And Zoe realizing she was like his pawn, blah, blah, blah. I don't mean a blah, blah, blah. I just felt like the characters really did have heat. So it was just like a cop out to just try to give a Logan win rather than try to invest in the actual couple that could actually be some, whatever. So they now bond in the office. I don't really know what they were talking about ultimately because I may have absolutely and on purpose began to fast forward. I don't know. It's like a chemical thing. Like all Hope scenes get regurgitated back to me by everybody else. So I just don't get why I would watch Hope scenes. And also I just dislike her. Finally, convinced by her brother, Steffi calls Finn and she asks him, can you come over? Can I get more pain pills for you? And Finn's like, more pain pills? I don't know about it. And you can see it in his face, but he's like, hey, how about if I just come over? Because I'm your hot doctor and I also happen to like live just, I guess, minutes away. That's awesome. Because dollar store, like ibuprofen isn't working. So now she needs to, I guess, appeal to him to get more. Quinn and Shauna, they just opine out loud about the dirty secret that they have. That's they're at the office. First they're at the house, the mansion, and now they're at the office. And again, I say earlier, this is like they just keep talking, and it's like they just want to be caught. Ridge, Torsten K, I absolutely love him. I feel like he's walking a walk between a character who absolutely cares for a person and doesn't want to hurt them, Shauna, and then loves Brooke, but was actually hurt by Brooke, and the situation came up that it was out of his control because doesn't remember any of it, right? And to watch his face as he tries to explain and be sorry for something he can't actually remember, but be completely sorrowful to Brooke. And Brooke's not really having it. This is a big betrayal. She can't see past it. Like kissing his enemy was a big betrayal. She needed him to get past drunken Vegas marriages that can easily freaking be annulled. That's just unforgivable. I don't get it. I just really wanted Ridge to say, you know what? No, you kiss my enemy. I marry Shauna. Even Stevens. Let's just move on. Brad Bell loves the Logans. So Shauna and Quintessence, you better watch your backs. All right, so off we now go to the Midwest, our favorite place for the weirdness that's not really weird because it's just perfectly normal. Your favorite place in mine, Days of Our Lives. Again, I gobbled up quite a lot of episodes from episode one to now. So if you want to follow along, you can pick any of the ones you want at any point. You'll kind of get an idea of what was going on during this time as you look for season 55, episodes 198 through episodes 219. Let's get started. Lonnie and Eli's wedding. This couple has been through quite a lot. There was the hookup while Lonnie was dating JJ, and while Eli was originally dating Gabby. Three's Company style shenanigans won out, and people believe things happened that didn't happen when ultimately Gabby was saving the life of JJ by preventing him from killing himself over his grief of shooting Lonnie's brother, Theo, which was an accident orchestrated by Kate. Anyway, so the actors at the wedding, that whole entire week's worth of Lonnie and Eli's wedding, it was pretty much, they were all wearing the same colored clothes. They were all color coordinated. It was a wedding, right? It was beautiful and it was dope. But every actor on the show, those not even attending the wedding, I dare you, go back and watch it. Told you the episodes, you know where to find them. It's on you to prove me wrong. They were all matching in like blues and light blues and whites. It was dope, actually. I dug what the costume designer did for that run of episodes because it kind of gave symmetry to everyone through, for me, visually, through what they were wearing. It was also a dope week because it literally gave all the vets something to do. You had Julie getting prepared to host the wedding. And then there was Abe, who was there, who wasn't doing anything that Julie wanted, right? And then Abe basically just looked her in the face and was like, look, lady, out of my face. I know exactly what I'm doing. It's a napkin. Though he goes to fold it and it looks freaking horrible. And she looks at him and she has to pick a different battle, but it was kind of dope. And then you have Marilyn McCoo, who used to be on the show years back, showing up again to come to the wedding to be there for her daughter, Lonnie, which is super awesome. But then it was weird because they gave her like some beguiling sickness out of nowhere. You know, she passed out on the damn floor. And then, you know, everyone came to her attention and they took her off. And it was weird for me because I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get married right when my mother just passes out in front of me on the floor. Have an apple, drink some juice. Let's say I do. It's like, I don't care what I went through prior to get here. Like, ultimately, this is the other thing we get past. And if we're getting married, you got to believe that. And you got to be on board with me, or we're not getting married. But, you know, you should come with me. My mom just passed out. I digress. Vanessa Williams was also back, looking fine as hell as ever. She's ageless. I love this woman. She's but creepily, I say creepily, she's kicking it with Eli's mentor, who in real life is actually married to Marilyn McCoo. The symmetry. But it's weird. Like, you know, this dude helped your son as he was coming up in the FBI. And now, like, he knows you're his mom. So it's weird that you guys want to know what your parts together seem like. I'm not a fan, but it was just for the episodes, and hopefully I'm gonna hold it back. Anyway, so Brady sees Kristen in the park. He's like, Kristen, as she's trying to leave after she just had her, you know, clandestine conversation with Lonnie about how beautiful she was for her wedding. And, you know, he sees Kristen and he talks to her and he's like, I just can't be without you. And I tried to talk to Victor and no one's believing this and blah, blah, blah. And she's just like, I don't know, wish we could be together. He's like, let's just go together. Let's go on the run together. We'll just leave everything here. I have more things than you, but I will leave everything here and we will flee. And just before they leave, like, Chad shows up and they're like, you're not going to turn your sister in, are you? He's like, man, like, real talk, for real. Like, deeply, all I want are your stocks. Like, if you give them to me, you guys can leave. I don't care. Do what you want to do. And you know, after some he and hauling and some convincing and talking about how they can't let Gabby and this fake Demira take the company, fake Demira, they're talking about Jake, right? And she's like, okay, fine, here, I'll give them to you. And then they flee off into the night. I already talked about Kristen visiting Lonnie, which was very beautiful. I love the two actresses. They formed a great friendship in this weird fast forward to a year that we all had to deal with. Like, they made that friendship seem deep and legit. So it's, man, that year fast forward, still loving it. And then, you know, there was Gabby is out. And it's like, as soon as she gets out of jail, it's like time to just go do stuff that will might possibly, inevitably, certainly almost land you back in jail. Because now she's like on out to prove that Jake is like legit her husband. But she's in a fight for Jake with this crazy ass Gwen. And like, Gwen is creepy and weird, and she's very methodical in how she speaks, and I love her. But I don't dig her. You know, coming to town, I feel like it's not going to be good, because I'm in the mesh of like spewing like every time I have to deal with this whole storyline right now, right? Because so like Jake takes the freaking serum, right, and nothing happens at all. So we know it's supposed to work, because suddenly Kate remembered a pen from Memories Lost. So something should work on Jake, but it didn't. Right. But back at the station with Vivian, like, we hear this like tale of like two sold babies, and it gets spun and like all lathered up in this big soapy mess. And in this, like, we have Jake as his very dead Stefano's twin brother. Right. There was two of them. Stefano's dead. And Jake is his. I didn't mention about your other baby who's alive. Man, I barfed in my eyes a bit when this happened. Like for real. Like, I'm ultimately upset. I love Brandon Brass. Okay, always have. Johnny Zakhar, one of my favorite characters of all time. Absolutely love what this dude does. When he came back and he was, you know, Jake, he was legitimately a different person. And I questioned, like, what the realness of a legitimately different person who looks like a person that was already here in town would, like, live next door. Or, and, you know, they wove this story of how he came to town. Now he's actually here, and it makes perfect sense that he's Stefano, right? It makes perfect sense. So then they give us this other, you know, quack crap about now there's a twin brother. Because ultimately, I believe that this is a lie, okay? I feel ripped off if Brandon Barash came back as a brand new Demira rather than the Demira that I already, when he took over for Tyler Christopher, like, it was a different take on the character that Ty had laid down that Brandon took over, and he made it his own. This is the kind of guy he would play, right? But he was soft, but he was stern, and he seemed like you don't mess with him. But if you're down with him, he's loving and smooth. People don't see that type of person. That's how he played him. And now, if he's not him, which I can't even say out loud because I don't believe it, ultimately, I believe he's actually him. I'm saying it right now. Mark my words, you heard it here. Ultimately, he is still Stefano Demira. This is just some stupid. Blah. Then there's Kayla and Justin's wedding. So we're going to skip to the next wedding, right? So Justin learns that Steve still loves Kayla, and it was too much for him. He couldn't marry her in those pretenses. So at the middle of the wedding, in front of everyone, he decides to tell them to look at Jack and Jennifer's face, because they each separately know something, but now together it's like, oh, it's all coming true. So, you know, so you have to reevaluate everything that happened. Kayla hearing this, she questions everybody. You knew this? Like, she's ready to punch him in the face, because I love Kayla. She will punch you in the face when wrong, right? So she's reevaluating. So she rushes to find Steve. She goes to Hope's. Hope's like, oh, my God, he's fully gone. It's some new mission. He's out of here. He's at the airport. Kayla breezes off. Steve's at the airport. He's talking to a guy. It's going slow. Purposefully, thank God. And then he eventually gets on the plane. Kayla shows up. She's like, oh, no, I missed him. He comes out. She sees him. We see them. They do their thing. It's cry balls all over the place. Amazing. Super happy that all of that happened, right? Now we go to the wedding that I never really wanted to go to. But, you know, he's a friend. I had to go to Eric and Nicole's wedding. So they're up next. I just did not want Nicole to marry Eric, like, at all, ever. But, like, you know, after all the boredom, they actually got married. It's Abe, so yay, a wedding actually happened. So Then a wind comes a change in, and then my girl Sammy the Hurricane Brady comes to you. You guys didn't want to invite me to your wedding. What the hell? And then like all the yawning was finally over because, you know, when Sammy comes back to the show, things get surprisingly better because they're usually surprisingly dull. And then we have a cake fight, which you couldn't have shoved more cake in Nicole's face. Okay. I have all the love in the world for the homage to the rivalry between Nicole and Sammy. But Arianne Zucker, I absolutely love her. She's an amazing woman. She does a great job of playing the character. She has done it since I've been watching the show since 1993. I think she is amazing as an actress. I hate Nicole Walker. I love Sammy Brady and Liv Addison Sweeney. All right, there it is, all the fanboying aside. So here's the deal. So then the quadfecta, we have to go to the unlikely pairing of Sierra and Ben, or Sin, as we call them. I've been a big fan of them since the accident, you know, the crash. Because Ben ultimately was a dope character, he was a good guy. And then suddenly the necktie killer, which all the signs pointed to his dad, turned out it was actually Ben. Who knew? He was weird and creepy all along. No, he wasn't. He was sweet and genuine, and he was awesome. Right? He had a temper because he was raised by an evil man. That's not make Ben a bad. Anyway, retconning Ben's character aside, the sweetness that was in him, Sierra sees that. And he sees the goodness that he can be because Sierra helps bring that out in them. So I was down for the pound with Sin. Plus, they're dope to look at together. I dare you to watch them and not feel the same way. And so they became a couple to all odds, crazy sister, you know, angry parents, the town. But ultimately, they all came together and made it to their wedding. So it was heartwarming vows. You know, Julie was mugging for the crowd. Aside from that, like they literally actually got hitched. They had a kiss. Then there was his hug, you know, the appropriate relatives were hugged and, you know, friends were like all, you know, giving you dab and it was slow motion. And like, then someone thought ahead for the newlyweds and decided instead of a walk, they'd blow them all the fuck up. So now we're off to Port Charles, New York. Upstate New York, to be exact. We're at season 58. Missed some episodes to conclude season 57. I apologize. That's more my fault than yours. What do you care? You didn't even watch it until I started telling you about it anyway. So season 58, episodes 1-7. I believe those are still available on Hulu. If definitely, you can still find them on abc.com or, again, like we mentioned, Daily Motion. So here we go. We have to say goodbye to Mike and Nell. I'll get back to Nell later. So Mike is gone. It was a week of some gut-wrenching scenes as people came to terms with saying goodbye to Mike. The tale of two Mikes for me. There's Max Gale, who currently Emmy Award winner for playing Mike in the final stages of Alzheimer's. And then there's Ron Hale, the gentleman that we longtime viewers have met. And they're two different people. One is reference to who he was, as he's clearly not that anymore. And the other one you saw like point blank, and he did something so horribly. Courtney so horribly, pretty much everybody. Mike wasn't a dope guy. And when we first meet him, he's working for Luke at a club that Luke runs with Sonny. Sonny also is a business partner in L&B Records and is getting Lois's group exposure. He steals some speakers from them. Brings them to Luke. Is like, yeah, I got it from an old lady who wanted to blah, 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 give them away. And I'm lying and I stole. And later we find out when Luke talks to Sonny, you know, this is what happens. Luke sees the speakers. He's like, I recognize this. Bring this person in here. The dude walks in. First thing, he's like, Mike. He's like, Sonny. They know each other. Yeah, I'm your scummy dad. So I had to reconcile saying goodbye to Max Gale's Mike. All the while, I'm still, you know, sort of pissed in my mind about Ron Hill. But I guess that's about forgiveness, which I guess what the characters have to go through as well. This hits Jocelyn very bad because this poor little girl, she's lost a lot. Not only a little girl, she's a young woman, but she's lost a lot. Her whole life's been about loss, but you know, most recently, just to say goodbye to, you know, the love of her life, Oscar, who passed away slowly. We knew he was going to die. We thought he could beat it, but he didn't, right? Same thing with Mike. We watched him slowly deteriorate. We had hope, but we knew he wouldn't, and he didn't. Now Jocelyn has to deal with this. She calls Jax. You know, he's dealing with this thing with Nina while he knows damn well what's going on anyway. So, you know, he's with Nina, and, you know, Jocelyn calls. She's like, I'm glad to hear your voice. It's, you know, see that you're okay. He's like, I'm always going to be there for you, baby. It's amazing. So I love their story. I'm so happy that Jax is here. But, you know, Jax and Carly, they're covering up this whole thing. Jax is like, let's leave Nell in the past. You know, the truth is, you know, both in the river and gone. And as soon as Nell fell, some stuff like that. I want to talk about Alexis. Nancy Legron, love you. I think they're gearing you up for something big. The story is like of seemingly nothing fall, and, you know, Ned brings her to the hospital, and she's not able to hold like a coffee cup or something. Like, that seems too innocuous. So I feel like they were gearing up for something super huge. It's the beginning of the week. We see what happens. You know, it seems like social commentary is going to stay alive on the show now that Mike has passed. But who now? So now I feel like osteosporosis is the thing that we need to make everyone aware of. And we will do it with the beloved character, and people will, you know, hopefully learn something that they didn't know. There's all that Chase, Michael, Sasha, Willow that they talked about. Again, to be fair, I don't know. I'm actually grateful for the existence, if for no other reason than I can actually just go to the bathroom, whether they're on TV, and any combination of them or their characters, I know I can just, I just don't care for. So I'm not going to miss anything, because someone that I do like will interact with one of them, and then eventually I too will know. So until then, mazel tov. Holly's not dead. She's just causing trouble for some bad guy, you know, Robert and the Artful Dodger, Nathan Parsons. Yay. They're here to, like, save the day. And then Olivia Falconeri comes out. She's like, I can use some help here. Lisa Lucero, love you, love you. I'm just not a big fan of Olivia currently. Max, he's close to giving Peter, like, everything that he wants, like a family. Now his baby's on the way. You know, she seeks approval from her friends, and, like, Sam, who's just, like looking away. Like, she can't make eye contact. Like, you know, Max, he's tilting her neck, and Sam is tilting her neck oppositely, and they're like two ostriches trying to look each other in the eyes, but not actually look each other in the eyes. Well, she's like, what's that going on? You don't want me to be with Peter? Like, do you like Peter? Is Peter cool? Like, I mean, you understand Peter. Like, so that was just hilarious. Because the whole time, like, Sam is totally onto them. And then, you know, her and Spinelli, they're like working a plan, like bring them down. So, you know, Sonny deals with Mike, and he, all the shoulda, woulda, couldas, you know, they have a poignant story about a bike that plays in later. Ava and the Dark Prince, Christopher, you know, the Tyler Christopher was always my Nicholas, even though Colton Scott was a Nicholas that I met, and I railed against Tyler Christopher coming back as the original Nicholas. But once he did, like, that was, so this, the new gentleman, I haven't learned your name yet. I apologize. It's taking a while, slow build to dig him, but I love Moira West. Mwah. Moira West has chemistry with a paper bag, bro, but they, you can see that there's something. So they bond over, you know, Avery's, where are you shenanigans? Where am I at? I'm finding evidence. But anyway, but you already knew that this was going to happen. Like, whenever they put, like, two people who shouldn't be together, that they're for a business arrangement, or that they're not out of love, happens to General Hospital all the time. I mean, Alexis will tell you all the time that Jax is her favorite ex-husband, because their marriage wasn't real. It was just a transaction. And so Maurice Bernard is the epitome of, like, a dope actor. He had me in my feelings all week. Again, I told you I was feeling some kind of way about reconciling the different Mikes that I had. So, but when I was sure that I was going to handle Mike's death with no problem, you know, he then has to tell Avery, right? Speaking of Leo Averykins, it seems like Little Miss Thing may be holding a little trinket that just might be the key to a lot of people's misery. Locked and tucked away somewhere, Holly screams as a mystery person looks on. Wouldn't you like to know who, though? Shall we just throw caution to the wind and just head to Holly Holly? I always say yes. This is one of my absolute favorite TV shows to watch of all time, Hollyoaks. So here we are. So again, we're a year in the past. not like months, like with our American shows, like a year. So we are currently going to be gobbling up, it looks like July 26th, 2019 through September, Friday the 13th. 2019, season 25, episodes 149 through 183. This you can definitely find on Daily Motion. That's how I catch most of the ones that I've ever wanted to see that I missed when they were not on Hulu, because we're vastly getting close up to the ones that are still on Hulu. So when we're all said and done, nerds, you can actually like watch the show with me. It'll be so dope. All right, here we go. So there's this big weekend festival that comes to town, and all the cool kids and Imran, they go, and like Lisa like gets her life. Like, I think this is when the character actually started to matter to me, when I saw that she's like she's a hurt person. I missed so much earlier on with her dad, so I didn't get to see what happened to Louis Lovejoy, her dad, who died. I'm just slowly seeing her, you know, do horrible things with Liam, like, sort of just like, you know, self-hurt. But now we get to see her be free and be fun, and she's actually kind of dope. And it was kind of hilarious because the contrast to that was like frizzy-haired Cleo. I'm not a big fan of Cleo. Leaving it there, that's it. So Maxine has her lies. You know, she's got Munchausen's. It really, she's just a lying jerk. And she's just trying to manipulate Diamond. And so then, you know, Sienna cries foul. She finds out. And she wants her to do the right thing. And of course, you know, Maxine is a piece of Maxine, and she's just impossible of doing the right thing. So she didn't. She just came up with some other illness. Something called brain tumor or some tumor on an area that's bad that I can't die. Let's get married though. So whatever. That continues. Hopefully her comeuppance comes soon in the future. And I know I have seen the future, and there is no Damon. So like low key, I'm worried that like he's dead, and or it's something that like that damn Maxine did to him, that I just need her to just be found out and like just like grab her stuff and like just leave my damn show. Mercy, she's having a baby. We mentioned a bunch of weird stuff going on in town, and it's like, you know, that's also weird. You're pregnant. You've been having sex with two people, which now she doesn't know who the baby daddy is. Number one, it could be Liam Donovan. Now, Liam is not the best character in the world, but in my eyes, he's played to perfection. Jude McGowan, this guy, like Liam is awesome because he's a drug dealer. He's a criminal. He's a gangster. He's a serial sexaholic, selfish, and handsome, and he's all around bad guy. Or there's a bachelor number two, Silva McQueen. I mean, he is a stud. This man is freaking gorgeous. I mean, he's as stud as ever a stud existed. He's bulky, he's built, he's gorgeous, he's slightly daft, and mostly a murderer. So, you know, there's your gene pool for your baby. What's a girl to do? Oh, you know, get an abortion. That's what her next step is. And so finally, you know, Diane tells her insensitive being a mom story to, you know, just herself, to get her up in the bed in the morning, and so she can tackle the life and ruin other people's lives, because she's just like terrible. Like I mentioned earlier in the bump, like I get it. You failed at two children, you know. Finn and Lily is what I'm talking about. You know, Finn is a molester. You know, Lily had a mental deal where she hurt herself. I just feel like it's, you know, it's Diane. So, you know, now she needs to, you know, mess up Sinead's life. You know, Lori did horrible stuff to Sinead. Sometimes in that house, like the very last thing he did to her in that house. And it's terrible for her to have to be there. And now you want to bring the brother who is a convicted rapist and to live in the house with her. I mean, you must be batshit crazy. That just seems crazy to me. I just don't get it. Oh, you know, there's also, you know, a serial killer in town. You know, Harry is missing. Louis Lovejoy's body, you know, just literally washed up. You know, Tony, you know, we don't even know if he's stabbed dead in front of us, right? You know, and what's Diane banging on about, you know, selfish Tony, probably with another one of his mistresses. I mean, yeah, Tony made mistakes a long time ago, but he literally seemed to have turned the corner. He made a big effort when their baby that was swapped was in the hospital and was dying. Like, you know, that brought the two of them together. But beyond that, he had like this huge, you know, Chef of the Year award. So even if you think the less of him, at least he would show up for that. He did. You know, not to mention that his son is like freaking missing and nobody's listening to him about what was going on. So, you know, someone just like, just like shove her in something like a volcano, you know, like lure her like all Looney Tunes style to like an actual volcano. And then like, just let me just like push her in like right on. Right in, like my Tony. Ugh, gone too soon. Oh, Silver, you're calm now. But if I told you what Mercy really did in the hospital, you'd flip your wig. All right, that was a wrap. That was episode number 2. Thank you for sticking it out with me. I had a lot of fun with this one. A lot more fun than the first one. Any of the portions of the show that you missed, check it out on the devices. I told you can watch it on Dailymotion, YouTube, Hulu. You can check it all out there. Respective TV shows have their own streaming access. The parts we didn't mention in the show, we'd like to make into a nice little neat little bow at the end, and we call it The Wrap. The plots be hyper real, sometimes they just a joke, but that's just how you go, yo, when you YOLO, it's just so. The price be hyper real, and sometimes they just a joke, but that's just how you go, yo, when you YOLO, it's just so. I think it's funny how Will and Sonny wanna be daddies. Throw on all the babies, daddy, but sister Allie's babies up for grabbies. Mama girl was butthurt, got dumb drunk, got it in with a rando. TJ gon' be pissed though when that info leads to Brando. Sally out in Cali was faking sick to keep a man. Belly flows said hell to the no, pack your stuff and scram. Mercy, mercy me, there's a baby woman, a Holly. Mercedes don't know the daddy, and Brooke is knocked up a Holly. The Foxy hyper real, and sometimes it's just a joke. But that's just how you go, yo, when you YOLO with your soul. The plot be hyper real, and sometimes it's just a joke. But that's just how you go, yo, when you YOLO with your soul. Alright, thank you for listening to me. Please make sure you hit that follow or subscribe if you're listening on Spotify or Google Podcasts or right here at Buzzsprout.com, checking out my As and Such Charm podcast. Give me a listen from your kitchen while you're feeling the burn. You know the gist, so you don't miss another As and Such Charm. Said every show I drop will rot like this, I swear. You can bump me on your walk or while you sit in your chair. Your obsession ain't no question, and you're digging the vibe. It's ATSD, your new bestie. Hit that follow or subscribe. Back, son. Straight.